This week, Bridge Magazine's running a series of in-depth stories delving into Michigan's gun culture. It's called Guns in Michigan, exploring a wide range of questions, including what happens at the point where gun rights and public safety intersect, and how pervasive is gun violence in Michigan. Pat Schellenbarger wrote the series. He's a writer based in West Michigan. If his name sounds familiar, it could be because he was a reporter and editor at the Detroit News, as well as the Grand Rapids Press and the St. Petersburg Times. And Pat Schellenbarger joins us now from Grand Rapids. So, Pat, what was the thrust of this piece? Why? What made you want to take such a deep dive into the gun situation in Michigan?
Well, of course, you know, it began, the idea began with the shootings in Newtown, Connecticut of the 20 school kids and the six adults. But we, of course, decided to take a closer look at Michigan and what's happening here. And while so much of the focus nationally is on assault rifles, as it should be, the fact is that the vast majority of firearm deaths are with handguns. And, of course, Michigan has become a shall-issue state back in 2001.
Explain for us, for those folks who are fuzzy on these issues, how did changing Michigan over to a shall-issue state make it easier to get a concealed pistol permit?
Okay. It used to be pretty difficult to get one. You'd have to go before your county gun board. You'd have to prove that you had a need, that you needed it for defense, you'd been threatened, something like that, so that there were not that many concealed weapons permits, or they're called concealed pistol permits, issued back before this change in the law. The legislature changed the law, and it went into effect July 1st, 2001. And after that, the state had to issue the concealed pistol license unless there was a reason to deny it, such as the person had a felony record. So since then, the number of concealed pistol licenses has gone up dramatically. That first year, there were something like 52,000 concealed pistol licenses. As of April 1st this year, there are more than 378,000. And each of those permits can cover multiple handguns. So it's hard to say how many handguns are out there that are being carried now.
So that's why the data is kind of fuzzy.
It is.
Yes.
And there are over 25,000 applications pending right now, and that's maybe double what it was a year ago.
Now, Pat, you report in your piece that the number of firearm homicides in Michigan actually went down after Michigan became a shall-issue state, so the sky did not fall in?
No. There were predictions back at the time that this was being debated that there would be shootouts in the street, that sort of thing. That has not happened. It's true. The number of firearm homicides has declined, and the number of firearm suicides has declined, though not as much. But it is important to point out that the violent crime rate was already declining a few years before Michigan became a shall-issue state, and nationally, violent crime was already going down. And statisticians, epidemiologists, and others will tell you that there are multiple factors that go into that. So it would be faulty to say that because Michigan became a shall-issue state, the number of firearm homicides went down.
I want to talk about guns and schools, and as you say, your whole series, the idea came from the Sandy Hook school shootings. And for this series, you really did something that was very riveting. You spoke to some people with real perspective on school shootings, unlike anyone else's. Talk to me about the folks that you interviewed with regards to that school shooting that happened in Chelsea.
Yeah, that was back in 1993. And I thought this would be an interesting case to look at because there has been talk and even a bill in the legislature that would allow guns in schools. Guns are now among the gun-free zones under state law.
Yes, and that's Senator Mike Green's bill?
That's right.
Yes.
It would allow teachers and others to carry guns. Well, the shooting that happened in December 1993, the superintendent of the Chelsea schools was killed, the principal of the high school was wounded, and a teacher was wounded. But the thing about that case is that the shooter was a teacher. And so I talked to the principal, he's now retired, about his view, his experience with that, and his view of the whole issue of arming teachers. And, of course, he is opposed to that. And he favors some forms of gun control, such as banning assault rifles, and he favors universal background checks for those who want to buy guns. But then I also interviewed the teacher who did the shooting, and he is in prison. He's doing life in prison. He was remarkably candid. He takes full responsibility for what happened. But he hasn't given a whole lot of thought to this issue of gun control. In fact, he told me that he tries not to follow what's going on outside the prison walls because it reminds him of what he did. But when I pressed him on it, he didn't think that gun control would really make much difference.
Why was that?
Violence. Well, he sees it as a deeper problem, a decline of morals in society in general. And since he has gone to prison, he has become a Christian, so he looks at it more in those broader terms. But his feeling was that you can restrict things, but that's not going to change the level of violence.
I'm speaking with Pat Schellenbarger, who's a contributing writer for Bridge Magazine, and his piece is this week, overall series entitled Guns in Michigan, exploring many, many questions and delving into Michigan's gun culture. And in your pieces, Pat, you talk about the mental health, and we've certainly heard a lot of talk, especially since Sandy Hook, about mental health. And you call this the wild card in gun safety. And why so?
Well, it is one of the big issues, and it might be one area where the pro-gun factions and the pro-gun control people can agree that better mental health care might help prevent some of the violence. But the problem with that is it's nearly impossible to predict who will go turn violent. And I had talked to people in the mental health field about that, and they do say that people with certain mental health conditions may be more prone to violence. If they have a history of abuse, they themselves were abused, that might increase it. If they've had a history of alcohol and substance abuse, that increases it. But even applying all those factors, you'd be wrong the vast majority of time. One thing that has maybe made a difference is the states are required, or expected at least, to report involuntary commitments to mental treatment to the national database that the FBI maintains. That's the database that, you know, a gun dealer has to check through before they can sell a gun to someone. And some states have not done very well with that, but Michigan has done better than most. Michigan was one of the best, according to one survey I read. But even at that, it's still very difficult to predict who will turn violent.
In all of the reporting and the writing you did for this series, did you feel you could come to answer a central question, which is this: just how pervasive is gun violence really in Michigan?
Well, it's fairly high. One of the most interesting facts that I came up with surprised me, and that is that in Michigan, you're more likely to die from a bullet than in a motor vehicle accident.
Because we're making cars safer, aren't we?
That's it. And that raises kind of a related issue that maybe the approach, and some of one researcher in particular suggested this, that maybe the better approach is not so much gun control but gun safety. It might also include limiting those who have guns, but also things like requiring or promoting the idea of locking up weapons and keeping ammunition separate from those. But it's not so much that the number of firearm homicides and suicides have gone up, it's that the motor vehicle accidents deaths have gone down.
Pat, what do you hope readers will take away from your series Guns in Michigan?
Well, I hope they become aware of just how dangerous it is to have a firearm in the house. There was a survey by the Michigan Department of Community Health a few years ago that found that about 40% of Michigan households have a firearm in the house. Yet the Brady campaign for firearm safety had predicted that that firearm is 20 times more dangerous to the occupants of this household than is any intruder. It becomes too handy if an argument, you know, between a husband and wife escalates and there's a firearm readily at hand, it might be used. If someone is feeling suicidal and they can get a hold of a gun, they might use it before they've had a chance to kind of reevaluate it.
Or as you found in your interview, if a teacher is angry at a personnel action being taken, he can come back to the school and kill the principal.
And I just yesterday heard of this stabbings that occurred in Texas at a college there. 14 people were stabbed, but not one of them died. But if it had been a firearm, firearms are more lethal.
Pat Schellenbarger, his Guns in Michigan series running all this week in Bridge Magazine, and you can find it at bridgemi.com. And Pat spoke to us today from Grand Rapids. Thank you so much, Pat.
Thank you.